Coverage Show. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined, as always, every week by my good buddy here and co-host, Mr. Trey Hill, to break down another week of Bulls in action. I can't even call it action. The Bulls play, so theoretically, the Bulls played three basketball games in between the last time we both talked, Trey, but I don't know. I'm not seeing basketball out there. I'm seeing seeing a lot of negative things that just don't make me happy. It doesn't bring me joy. The first game this season I turned off was that second game against the Knicks where we were losing big, and I just couldn't watch it anymore. And this game I skipped it to go take my kids to see Christmas Lights. I know you know. I listened to it on the radio, but I was actually listening to the Timberwolves announcers on SiriusXM, but pretty happy I skipped this one. And I really like it. You know, there's a little tip for you Bulls fans out there. It's okay to take a little time off when, you know, things aren't looking so good. But how are you feeling, Trey?
Well, I did not skip this game.
Yeah.
So after the game, when I messaged you asking if you were back home yet, I was really hoping you were still out and about so I wouldn't have to tape this right after the game ended, because the Bulls managed to somehow stay in this game a little bit, just enough to where you couldn't really turn it off. Mm-hmm. But even in the first half, I messaged you at halftime saying the Bulls deserve to be down 20. And I wasn't exaggerating. It was just it was a poor effort just all around. But Stacey King pointed out specifically the back end defensive rotations, killing Vooch. And just they ramped it up a little bit in the second half, just long enough, like I said, to get back in it, only to falter again. Just disappointing loss after disappointing loss. And this sucks.
It is not easy right now to be a Chicago Bulls fan. It is a long season, guys. I mean, the Bulls are sitting at 11-18. Second worst, I think, here in the Eastern Conference. This is the Central standings. I'm only looking at Central standings. There's got to be somebody worse than them. Let me see here. Yeah, the Hornets are below us. Pistons, Magic, Wizards. So, hey, the Wizards are worse than us. Let's point that out. They're playing tonight. They might actually be tied with us by the end of the night here, but if they win tonight. But yeah, the Bulls are disappointing, to say the least. It's like the body language out there is just not good, Trey. Like, you know, we're watching these teams, we're watching these failings over and over again on the defensive end. And instead of, like, you know, gritting our teeth and bearing down and powering through it, and someone stepping up and overcoming and you know, stepping over, getting over that, you know, negativity and being like, you know, superstar DeRozan or something like that. It's infected everybody. Like, everybody just seems to step slow. Everybody seems to want to point fingers. Everybody just seems to be upset. And I mean, I get that. I mean, you're losing basketball games, but like, I don't know. Do you feel like this losing streak has gotten into the heads of these Bulls players? Are they not mentally tough? Are we mentally weak?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow-up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
I mean, I don't know that it's the losing streak. I think it's just the – I mean, I guess it is the losing. But, I mean, I don't think it's this streak. I think all season we've seen the frustration on the defensive end from the Bulls. And I think the losing streak has probably caused it to tip over, especially losing back-to-back overtime games against the Hawks and then the Knicks. Mm-hmm. So it's just been a really frustrating time. But to me, it's – I don't know if it's communication. I don't know if guys are just a step slow on rotations because they're not sure. And then people – like, I know not everyone has a super great feel for the game on the defensive end. Sometimes they need to have the good communication on that end. And maybe that was one of the things that Lonzo provided because I love Caruso, but it doesn't seem – I don't see him often, like, pointing guys pointing out rotations before they need to happen. Like you see guys like Jose Alvarado on the Pelicans, for instance, he's pointing out rotations for Zion before they need to happen. Like sometimes maybe we just, Zach needs a guy that can do that. So I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know that it's the losing streak though, because even if the Bulls won two or three games, would you feel better about them? Because I don't think I would.
I don't feel confident about this team at all. And just to kind of tell you guys how I feel about this team, you ready for this? I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys in sounds here how I'm feeling right now.
I'm really glad that the sound came through on that because it would have been really underwhelming if it didn't.
No, yeah, I made sure I put it close to the mic. But, that's me cracking up on a beer because, yeah, that's what the Bulls do these days. They drive me to drink. I mean, a lot of things do, so let's be honest about it. But, no, these Bulls are definitely a reason – not a reason for happiness in my life right now. They don't spark joy, as Marie Kondo says, so I'm willing to throw them away at this point in my life. But, no, I think – I'd mentioned it a while ago, Trey, and, you know, it's kind of like as you were talking there, I was remembering a conversation we had. We were doing more shows last season, and, you know, it was towards the end of the season, I believe. And we were talking about, you know, the anchor of your defense has to be that guy that, you know, is out there directing people. Like, you know, I'll point to a good Bulls, you know, example of that, which is Joakim Noah, where he was constantly barking at, you know, Derrick Rose or, you know, whoever else, Kyle Korver, where they needed to be on the defensive end, you know, holding people accountable, clapping his hands in their faces, trying to get them amped up on that side of the basketball. And, you know, that's just not who, like, I'm not saying it's all his fault, but it's not who Vooch is. I don't know who the anchor on this defense is going to be. You know, that was a question I always had. I didn't think it really mattered because I felt like the Bulls had the scoring ability to outscore opponents. We saw it tonight. I mean, they scored incredibly well. But like you said, without any defense whatsoever, I mean, they give up 150 freaking points to the Minnesota Timberwolves. There's no Rudy Gobert, obviously, so it was a bit of a faster-paced game. But still, that's just 150 points to any NBA team in regulation, Trey, is terrible. That's bad. You should not do that if you're a legitimate playoff basketball team, which the Bulls are touting themselves as. And you know what's pissing me off even more, Trey, is that AK, and I know we've said, you know, I've seen this on Twitter and other people complaining about it already, so it's not just my beef, it's a lot of people's beef, but there's no accountability there either. AK is not coming out and telling us what the plan is. They're not coming out and answering for the roster construction that's put us in this hole. How do you feel about that? I mean, are you starting to get sour a little bit on the front office here? Are you hoping that, are you wishing that they would be a little bit more vocal?
No. No, I know that was really underwhelming, and I meant to be underwhelming because – I do think if you plug Lonzo into this team, I think it solves almost every issue it has. On offense, we have DeRozan and Zach. They're both very talented offensive players, but they're both isolation heavy who play make secondary. We don't have anyone creating things, getting guys open. You hear about the Spain pick and roll where it's two guys setting a screen at the top. One of them will dive to the rim, or one of them sets the screen and then they back screen the screener. One dives to the rim. It's a pretty standard play in today's NBA. The Bulls even run it a little bit, so I can't knock them for not running it, but they don't have anyone that can play make out of it. And so if you get Lonzo back on the offensive end, I think everything looks better on there. But really, the defensive end, because him and Caruso out there, they were playing at an all-defensive level. You have someone with that size, that switchability, that who can make up for the defensive lapses that everyone else seems to. He does have that defensive feel for the game, when I'm talking about Lonzo, where he can cover up mistakes. So when we talk about blaming AK, I think management was brought in. They were told, secure Zach LaVine, try and get this team back to the playoffs, and don't go into the luxury tax. If this team's healthy, I still think they're a playoff team. As bad as they've played, I still think if you bring Lonzo Ball back, and I think he solves enough of the problems, that I still believe in the team being what management was brought in to make it.
Does that place, and this is a point I see on Twitter all the time too, does that place too much undue stress on Lonzo Ball though? Because what if he does come back? And, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about Lonzo here in a minute, but what if he does come back and he's not exactly that guy that we're saying that is that missing piece? He's that elusive, you know, connector that's going to, you know, make everything better. We're still losing basketball games. I mean, that's kind of putting that, you know, putting a lot of pressure on him to be that guy. And I don't know, man, like from what I've seen from Lonzo.
So let's say we get 80% Lonzo. Mm-hmm. What he brings on the offensive end, I don't think requires a lot of athleticism. It's a lot of transition passing, but he makes some pretty long full court passes. And when it's the half court, it's him creating, but in sets. It's not necessarily him overpowering with his athleticism. It's his knowledge of the game and his playmaking skills. So I don't think he's got on there. And even on the defensive end, yeah, he might not be a top-notch defender, but he still has those help instincts. He still knows he's not going to be Patrick Williams, who's either not rotating at all or rotating so late he has no chance of getting the charge call. So even if Lonzo slips a little, I just think he has the feel for the game to be able to still make up for those things, because, like, you don't lose your playmaking vision. Like, Larry Bird was a great passer even when he had a back brace.
The Bulls are sorely lacking a point guard right now, like a true point guard. I think it's very obvious. I don't like the fact that DeMar DeRozan or Zach LaVine is, you know, getting the ball up the court and initiating the offense, because what you see, you know, we talked about this before too, but what you see on the offensive end is, you know, when other guys that aren't necessarily as involved in the offense, like a Patrick Williams or an Alex Caruso or what have you, when they're
Caruso initiated the very first play of the game. So, so if it's not DeRozan and Zach, like even Caruso, I don't feel confident in him as an initiator. Like, no, he's great getting the ball like in rotation, but starting off, no, I don't have any confidence in that either.
Yeah, and you know, if you have that person bringing up the ball, oftentimes it's Zach or DeMar, and then you know that they're going to take a shot, you know, 50% of the time. Half the time they're not going to pass the ball once, so they're just going to try to break their man down, maybe give a pass to you, and then expect the ball right back off the top of the key. You're just not going to be engaged on the offensive end, so you just kind of shut that area of it down, and you think you're just a role player, and you're just going to be grabbing boards and playing defense. And when you have that mentality, every person on the floor in an NBA basketball game has to be a weapon. We've asked that of Patrick Williams. We got to ask that of every single person on the floor. I would assume Alex Caruso. We see streaks of it. We see, you know, spots where they do look aggressive, but it's hard to stay that way when, you know, you're sitting there maybe even wide open and three guys are on DeMar DeRozan and he's taking a jumper, and maybe he gets fouled and goes to the line and gets two free throws, and it's good and it's a positive thing for your team, but that's not fun basketball for you. So I think it's a difficult thing for the Bulls to overcome. That's why we don't have a real point guard.
Right, and that's exactly what the team needs, because Zach and DeMar, I almost called them Lamar. they're great in the offense 10 seconds or less, but I don't want them being the guys creating in that 24 to 10 second range. I want them being in the, like, we saw Zach and DeMar both knock down corner threes off of just being the guys in the corner and letting the offense initiate elsewhere. They can be effective catching and shooting, or catching and then breaking their man down whenever they have to close out on them with 10 seconds left on the clock. They don't have to get the ball with 17 and try and playmake, because that's clearly not their strength. The Bulls, they've tried to put this square peg into a round hole with one, hoping one of them could be a playmaker at that level, and that's just not the case.
And, you know, it's not to say that these guys don't pass the ball. I mean, you know, they're getting assists. I mean, if you look at a box score, you know, they're getting 4, 5, 6, 7 assists a game sometimes. And, you know, it's not like they're ball hogs. I'm not trying to say that. It's just that they have a certain mentality on the offensive end. And when you're a true point guard, when you're Alonzo Ball or someone like that, and you understand the game at that level, you understand that this guy needs his touches here. This guy needs his touches there. Like, everybody needs to be engaged at certain points of the game so that we can all stay engaged and stay being active and being, you know, offensive weapons whenever we're on the offensive side.
And not just that, but I think like Lonzo, we're using him as the for instance, but these elite playmakers, the processing speed they have on their passes. So DeMar and Zach, they might make the same read as Lonzo, but they're passing it a half second later. So the defense has that much longer to recover. So instead of getting a wide open jump shot, you're getting a contested jumper. Or you're getting a guy, if they're really, you know, if they're quicker, they can get back out and just close out completely. So that's really, I think, the biggest flaw when it comes to them playmaking, because defenses are so sophisticated, they move so fast, and teams are getting so long. Like the Timberwolves tonight, Rudy Gobert wasn't out there, but you still had Jaden McDaniels, who's like 6'10 with like a 7-foot wingspan. Naz Reid, same thing. Anthony Edwards is like, these teams are so long and so big, and that's just the trend in the NBA that you have to make quick processing decisions.
Yeah. And speaking of Lonzo Ball, we did get a update, so not to bring Bulls fans down even further, but we do have to speak about it a little bit here. It looks like Lonzo is still not running without any pain. He still has pain in that knee. It's just not a good sign, Trey. So, you know, if we're talking about Lonzo being, I wouldn't say the answer. I don't want to put that pressure on him. I still don't want to put that pressure on him. But being somebody that can significantly make this team a lot better, somebody that fills a very significant need on this Bulls team, he's important. But I don't have any faith that he's going to play this basketball season. I think the farther the Bulls slip to, you know, we're 30 games into the season now, and we're sitting well below 500 at this point. I think, you know, if the Bulls don't turn this thing around soon, I think it's a very easy call for the Bulls to shut down Lonzo Ball for the rest of the season. Do you agree?
Yeah, 100%. Are you just you shut him down until he feels 100% comfortable to play? Like, you know, the last week of the season, if Lonzo feels ready to play, he just really wants to get some running, yeah, throw him out there for some games, get him some NBA minutes. And, you know, at that point, we're probably just hoping for the lottery gods to give us a top four pick so we can keep it at that point. But it's so disappointing that even when we get Lonzo news, it's never good news.
Yeah, it is not. Yeah.
So there is some good news coming, though. Mm-hmm. This was the first game of the road trip, but the next three games we have this week, they're all on the road. But again, I still think they're winnable games at the Heat, at the Hawks, at the Knicks. This is after that, you've got the Rockets and then the Bucks. Like, it starts to ramp back up. This was the stretch where the Bulls needed to prove that they could turn things around. And this is the last little bit of it before you start getting the Bucks, the Cavs twice, the Nets, the 76ers, the Celtics. It's getting ready to be a bloodbath again. So the Bulls really need to try and find a way to get some wins.
They do. Now this is a 4-game win streak. Now it is. Or is it 3
4-game? You said
losing. Sorry, said losing streak. Sorry.
And I needed to go find a drink after that.
No, it is not a winning streak. It is a losing streak. It is a terrible losing streak because, like you said, this was such an opportunity for us. You know, but you know, like you said, if the Bulls add a few point against the Hawks team, if they add a point against the Knicks team, it doesn't go to overtime. The Bulls win those games. You know, we're not as down on this Bulls team, and it's still a team kind of hovering around 500. But you know what? I was listening to the NBA radio. I can't remember who the hosts were. I think it was maybe Geltzeiler and the other guy. I can't remember his name. Sam Mitchell. And I think they were talking about the Bulls, and they were saying, you know, you have to rely on your stars. You know, if your team has two all-stars, you're pretty much guaranteed to be a 500 ball team. If you're not a 500 ball team, something's really, really wrong. And they were blaming the ancillary pieces. They were blaming the role players, saying, well, you have two all-stars, so obviously it's everyone else's fault. But let's again put that microscope on Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan tonight. You know, again, I was listening on the radio. I wasn't watching, but from what I heard and the plays I heard from Zach LaVine, I'm not impressed with Zach LaVine's play. He was starting to look good there for like a 3 or 4 game stretch about a week, 2 weeks ago. And now it's like to the point where he's again getting into that inefficient type of basketball. The playmaking, the decision making is questionable in my opinion. So, you know, in my opinion, I mean, we still got those knee issues here with Zach LaVine, Trey. So, but he's regressed. I think he's regressed as a playmaker.
a little bit, maybe. I think he's really looking to try and find his shot. And because with him not being a natural playmaker, him being able to score at all three levels, that kind of facilitates his playmaking because it draws the gravity into him so much and away from the other guys. Tonight, it really seems like this team is bound and determined to try and find a way to make it work on the offensive end when things get going. The defensive lapses cause the Bulls to go down. They come out after halftime. Coaching staff really obviously buckled down on them because, again, when it's so obvious Stacey King has to drag the team on the broadcast, that's when you know it's bad. So they fix it a little bit in the third quarter, but again, when they got down and they're trying to claw back in it, they're not buckling down for defensive stops. They're doing iso ball and Zach shooting or DeMar shooting, or you know, they're not buckling down on the defensive end nearly enough whenever it's time to really, you know, win the game. They're more focused on the offensive end, and I would love for Zach to be that guy who is like, you know what, screw it, I'm going to buckle down on the defensive end because we need someone to do it.
So I've been saying it now for, gosh, I don't know, how long now? A couple months, probably a month at least, that it's DeMar DeRozan's at his highest trade value now. And I think if the Bulls, I don't think the Bulls have a ton of incentive to make a move. I think, you know, we're still living in a little bit of la-la land if we're saying, oh, the Bulls are just going to blow it up and they're going to get all these draft picks. And you know, I just don't think that there is a ton of value in that because, as we've said before, you know, you've made the point, Trey, and I agree with you 100%, that these draft picks are all just kind of shots in the dark. I mean, there's no guarantee that if you have a top 14 draft pick, that guy's going to be an NBA-level starter, star, whatever you want to say. There's no guarantees in that draft. There are misses all over the place in the draft, even as high as the first pick in the whole entire draft. So I don't think, you know, it's a wise move to go ahead and just blow everything up. But the Bulls, in my opinion, and I think in a lot of fans' opinions, I think we do have a fit problem here. I don't think it's on the offensive end. I think the offense looks fine. But I think on the defensive end, you know, it regressed towards the end of the second half of last season. And yeah, Lonzo does probably help a lot with that stuff. But that's just one player. I'm still kind of not sold on this group as a fit defensively. So talk me into that. Talk me out of that. Like, where do you stand on that now?
I'm ready to listen to offers. I don't know that I'm excited because I don't see the Bulls getting anything in return that I would like. But right. Again, I'm open to listening to offers, and that wouldn't have been the case, you know, earlier in the year. So
I think if you could sell DeMar DeRozan, I mean, he's making what? I don't even know how much money off the top of my head. It's got to be near 30 million.
Well,
right?
Well, how about this? How about the next episode we do? We take fellow sports ethos guy up on his offer to do a trade podcast, and we post it over here. And because it's time to start gauging what the trade possibilities might be. Everyone says the Lakers. I think the Lakers are holding out for Bradley Beal, Dame Lillard. They're not going to trade those two picks or either of those two picks that are so coveted for DeMar DeRozan, I don't think, and Vucevic. So with that not being on the table, what is out there for DeRozan even? So there's your little teaser for the next episode coming your way.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. We'll hit up the you know, the Celtics guys, the Hawks guys, the Heat guys, all the guys that aren't sports ethos, the Mavericks guys. Man, the Mavericks, that'd be interesting. And see what they would have to offer.
Who wants DeMar?
Yeah, who wants DeMar, and what are you offering me for him? And we'll see what they say. But yeah, I think just, you know, in a vacuum, like not any specific trade idea in my mind. Like I haven't researched this at all. But if you can get, you know, a young wing type of player, you know, like a Patrick Williams type, a more of a defensive mind, like a Jaden Daniels and I'm not saying he's available, but someone like that guy, right? And you can add him to this Bulls squad and a draft pick and another guy that's, you know, on a big bloated contract, right? Something like that for DeMar DeRozan right now appeals to me because obviously it'd be a younger guy. And it moves the timeline, you know, skews it a little bit more towards the younger side. And I just think the fit right now, I mean, I don't like the vibes, right? And that's, I can't explain it any other way besides just when I'm watching this basketball team play basketball and I'm watching these guys watch DeMar do his thing, and watching him do his thing is incredible at times. I'm just not liking the vibes of the other guys on the team watching him try to score the basketball. So in my opinion, if you're going to blow it up, you're not going to blow it up. You're just going to make one trade, basically. And you're going to either get rid of DeRozan or Vucevic. And the guy that's got the most value out of that, those two, obviously, to me, is DeRozan. And I'm sure there's got to be teams in the NBA that are interested
in him. I feel like on the trade show, there'll probably be trades for everybody. And we can just go all in. So, I'm excited. We can just trade tomorrow, like you said, get a defensive guy on a rookie contract, get some expiring contracts, and then we can throw $20 million a year at Kyle Kuzma.
There you go. I like Kyle Kuzma. I like it. I do. well, let me say I'm a noted Kyle Kuzma hater, but after what he's done with the Washington Wizards and with the Lakers to an extent, I do think he's a good fit.
He's a great role player. He's huge. He is huge. People don't
His defense is really good, too, actually.
I said it just half-joking because I know you're a Kyle Kuzma hater.
I am a hater.
But I think
I hate
he's opting out because he knows he's going to get more than that $16.5 million. So there are options, but right now it's just sad to be a Bulls fan, and it's really sad that now we're – instead of looking forward to who we might be playing in the play-in or if we might be able to sneak into that sixth spot, it's, well, I hope those lottery odds are nice to us. Let's see what the trade machine's looking like.
I think the Bulls right now have a 12% chance to retain their pick, which, you know, hey, that's something. Hey, there you go. That's a little bit of a glimmer of hope for us to hang on to. But yeah, I don't know.
It is. And this draft class is just an exceptional draft class. And the next couple aren't nearly as loaded. So if there was a year for the Bulls to just really suck and hopefully get their pick, it's this one.
Just sit everybody, get your
man.
Get
your top four pick. How far have we fallen? We got to here, man. We got to get off here. We got
no. Okay, so I do have one bit of news here that we have to cover before we get off here. So there is one guy that the Bulls have actually been linked to, in I think it was Mark Spears. I don't know. Somebody on ESPN wrote an article. Anyways, they were linked again to Jakob Poeltl. How do you feel about that? I feel like, you know, I've been pretty unimpressed. I've watched some Spurs game here, and I've been pretty unimpressed with Jakob's defense, you know, to be honest with you. So that's not the profile center I'm looking for personally. I think it's just more of a Vooch type thing, just not as good as Vooch. But he has improved his game quite a lot from year one to now, and I do like him. So, I mean, would you prefer to have Jakob Poeltl over, you know, Nikola Vucevic? I mean, that sounds ridiculous to me. Is that something ridiculous to you?
Given the assets the Bulls would have to give up, yeah, it's ridiculous. Vooch isn't the problem on the defensive end right now. No. But even if he were, Jakob Poeltl's not coming in and fixing that problem. And I don't think Vooch is the problem on the offensive end at all. And while Poeltl is better on that end probably overall, I do like what Vooch offers in terms of, you know, he does stretch the floor. He's a pretty good player. I like what Vooch offers. I like what Vooch is doing this year. And given the price, no, I wouldn't bring in Jakob Poeltl, even though he is quite a bit younger.
Yeah, I would bring him in only if you're not giving up anything like of real value. And that doesn't make sense. It's not going to happen. So I just don't see that happening. But he was linked to the Bulls. He's been linked to the Bulls a few times in the past. I think if Vooch does end up walking after his contract's up this season, I think it's a decent guy to go out and replace Vooch with. And so that's something to look for maybe this offseason. I don't see the Bulls making a trade for him. There's no reason to trade for him right now, especially while you still have Vooch on the roster, unless you're trading Vooch away and getting something else back. But that doesn't make sense either. So I don't really see a trade there. But he was linked to us, so I did want to mention a little bit. But I think that's probably going to do it for us, guys. We are going to save our sanity and not talk any more Bulls basketball until next week, when hopefully we have a few more wins and we're feeling a little bit better about ourselves. So I am Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBP. Keith and Trey, where can people find you?
On Twitter at FinalFinally.
And do, like and subscribe to the show wherever you're listening, guys. Go get the DFS pass on sportsethos.com. It is still cheap. You can go talk to me. I am crushing it tonight. I'm actually watching my FanDuel lineup here. I'm in 192nd place out of 14,000 people. So 192 out of 14025. 1939. I slipped a little bit. But no, you should go get that. You should check it out. We are winning and just giving just knockout picks every single time. If you guys play Thrive Fantasy, go to Thrive Fantasy also and use promo code ETHOS to sign up and get a deposit match bonus up to $250. But until next time, I'm Keith. He's Trey. This is Ethos Bulls. You should follow us on Twitter also at Ethos Bulls. And until then, go Bulls. Win some games, please. We'll have a good day. one more fifth year. See you guys next week.